Okay, let's give this a try. It's on? Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to Fort Knox Service, a ministry of Texas House of Prayer, located right here in the heart of Johnson County, Texas. We apologize for the delay. We were wondering if we were even going to be up and running at all tonight. We had some technical difficulties, and we're not done yet, so... Pray. But we're glad you're here. We're glad you have chosen to join with us tonight, if you're watching tonight. If not, later on in the week, you didn't have to wait around for this. You just kind of went straight to it. And whether you're here live or whether you're listening to it later, we do welcome you to be a part of this. I'm going to be speaking to you tonight on a subject that I have preached at least once before. Although when I did preach it before, it was very relevant for all time, but it's even more relevant now, I believe, because of some of the things that's going on in the world and the things that are going on in the church world and what I believe is a lot of silliness and ridiculous things that are happening. And I believe the Lord wanted me to speak into this and address it and try to bring some a reality check for people who have ears to hear. And I know not everybody will hear. Not everybody wants to hear. But there are those that really do want to hear the voice of the Lord. And I pray that if you're wanting to hear, that you hear God speak tonight. Before I get into the message, and if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 5. We'll be reading verse 17 as our core text. This is Reigning in Life, part 1. And we'll begin reading Romans chapter 5, verse 17. But before I do, I'd just like to say that I've had thousands of people say to me that they would like for me to speak on the family and eventually get into child rearing, child training. Well, maybe not thousands of people. I've had hundreds of people come up to me and say, well, maybe not hundreds. I've had two people come up to me and say that they would like for me to do this series that I said ages ago that I would do. And so we are going to be getting into that. We're getting very close to that. This is Reigning in Life Part 1. There is a Part 2. So in a fortnight from now, we'll do Part 2, Lord willing. And then whether we have any more to do before we get into the series on the family is unknown, but that is coming. So I just want you to know that a series on the family, which will include husband and wife relationship, it will include child training, child rearing, goals, techniques, all kinds of things regarding child training. But it won't be just on child training. It will get into what it means to be a son, what it means to be a daughter, and what it means to be a husband and wife, and then what it means to have children, and we'll go from there. So that is coming. But for now, we are in Reigning in Life Part 1. And once again, thank you for being with us. And those of you who sat through all of the preparation that we had to go through to get here, thank you for being patient. And for those who work so diligently, especially Jason Tate, thank you for putting your effort in to make this happen tonight. So Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Reigning in life. To reign means to be king. This is from the original Greek word. It's translated reigned here twice in this verse. To means to be king or to exercise kingly power or to exercise the highest influence or control. It is the verb form of king. So it is to king it. We're not going to wing it tonight. We're talking about kinging it. So to reign in life is to exercise authority as one who wields authority and who has authority to wield. So, to define the word life, this is the Greek word Zoe, and there's a lot of confusion. I've heard a lot of teachings on the God kind of life, Zoe, and all these distinctions between that and other words for life. And let me just say, most of what has been taught has been a stretch. But in this particular case, the word Zoe is in life, means the period of time that I spend or you spend on earth having been created, illuminated, and animated by God. It's living our life here on this earth, the life that has been given to us by God, according to His will, living this life according to His will. It is time that I have and you have, the things that and people that I touch. It's the time that I have and the people and things that I touch in my lifetime in order to fulfill His purposes. And just to show you that this word Zoe means that, it's used in another place in this scripture verse here in Luke chapter 16, verse 25. And this is Jesus. I'm just breaking into this narrative where Jesus is speaking and telling a story about a rich man and the poor beggar named Lazarus, and how the rich man died and went and was in torment. And he asked the Lord, "Lord, just let Lazarus go and dip his finger in the water and come put it on my tongue that I might receive benefit from that." And he was asking Abraham that. And Abraham said, "Son, remember that in thy lifetime," and that word lifetime means Zoe. So it's in the period of time where you lived your life, you were on this earth, that you did or you should have been doing the will of the Lord for His glory. "In your lifetime receivest thy goods and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now is he comforted and thou art tormented." So when we're talking about reigning in life, we're talking about reigning as kings with authority in this present life. We're not talking in this verse about reigning in some future life or with the Lord in heaven or any other time. We're talking about in the period of time that we're on this earth, that God's intent is that we would reign as kings. It is the will of God that we, as born-again believers, reign as kings in all the affairs of life, of our lives, and by and through the power of the risen Christ, not on our own or not for our own purpose or benefit, but through His power. Remember, this verse said in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, that we which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. So those who are born again, who have God's grace upon our lives, and we reign in life by Jesus Christ. So it's not in ourselves, it's not for ourselves, it's through Him, for Him. This was the purpose that man was created in the beginning, to reign. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." So it wasn't just one man, Adam, that He wanted to have dominion. It was mankind. All that was to follow. Adam and his wife, Eve, and then all that were to follow. Mankind was intended to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And then in Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 through 6, what is it? What is man? Sorry. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. This was the will and purposes of God when he created man, that we would be created to have dominion over the works of his hands. And dominion was the purpose, was his purpose, when he called a people to be his own. And he gave them the promised land to enter into. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. Once again, it's linked to a relationship with God and obedience to Him. But if we are properly linked to Him and related to Him and doing His will, then we should be a people who are reigning in His name. That word, to be the head, means to be head, chief, top, captain, ruler. Once again, we see this kingdom, this kingly authority invested in man who is in right relationship with God, who should be reigning in life. Many people have, in the past several years, come to a realization that reigning in life is definitely the will of God for them. However, very few realize that reigning happens according to a plan and a pattern. So I'm going to start qualifying some of the things I've already said. I'm not backing or crawfishing away from it. It is exactly true. God wants us to reign, but not in the way that some people want to reign or think that they should reign. But He does want us to reign. It happens methodically and orderly, not haphazardly and randomly. It begins in an area of initial deposit, that abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, that presence of Christ within us. And then it grows outward from there, where it is and is to be needed. Where it is needed. It begins in the area where God has deposited it, and it is in the area, and it grows to the area where it is needed. An area of deposit where God has placed it. It's the initial place or the place of beginning, the first place to experience and exhibit victory and rule. We look in the Garden of Eden. Let me just stop by a minute. Are we still okay with the broadcast? We still going good with the broadcast? Okay. Oh, we're having an issue with echo. So I'm repeating myself. Apologize about that. We'll just do our best to get through this. Just listen a lot, okay? Listen. I'm going to be saying this over and over and over again, so just listen a lot. Okay, back to the area of deposit. If we look at the Garden of Eden, the garden, they were told to dress it and to keep it. That's where God put them. They were in a place that was under control. And God told them, keep it under control. Don't let it get out of control. Be on top of it. Rule and reign in this place. But He said beyond that, to go beyond the garden and have dominion throughout the entire earth. To multiply, to fill it, and have dominion. We see the same thing with the children of Israel. He said to them in Exodus chapter 23, in verses 29 and 30, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. Talking about the inhabitants of the land. He gave them the land. He gave them possession of the land by promise. He got them into the land miraculously, And he said, now that I've got you in, I want you to take control. Enter in. He said, but I'm not going to just let you have the whole thing all at once. You've got to grow into this. You've got to learn how to not only possess what you've just entered into and take care of it, but you've got to learn how to do that and move into the next realm. Go beyond where you are. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. The Lord said, I'm bringing you in. You have a place. This is where I want you to be, and I want you to increase from here. But start from here. Well, how about the believer? Is there an area of deposit in each born-again believer? Is there an area in us where the Spirit of Christ has already given us total victory? Is there an area within us where if we're born again, we are starting with a deposit that we can then see increase? Where are we already reigning with Him, if we are? And where is the place that we are to grow from? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. The Bible tells us that we are one with the Lord in our spirit. We are one with Him. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Christ is in us. The deposit of Christ is in us in our spirit. Not in our whole life, not in all aspects of our life, but in the place where we have been made one again with Him. We are right with God through Jesus Christ. In our spirit, we are as complete as we ever will be if we're born again. We are one with Christ. You can't get any more one than one. You can grow in that, and you can, like a human baby starts out, you can't be any more human than a baby is when it's born, or even before birth. You can't be any more human, but you can be more adult, you can be more grown up, you can be more useful to society. Same way it is with a Christian. When you're truly born again, you can't be any more born again, but you can start acting more like it. You can start reigning in life. Amen? So first of all, we see that this deposit, the deposit of Christ that's within us, is there as a believer, according to the will of God, that's according to His plan, that's from how man was created in the beginning to all the works that He did through man up until Jesus, and then the advent of Jesus and what He has done for us and what He is doing in us, we see the same pattern, that there should be growth and an increase outward from that place of deposit. Now, I want to take a look at three different PowerPoint presentations, and this is just adding another layer of complexity to what we're doing tonight. I hope this works. Oh, praise the Lord. Look at that. Look at this. Okay, we're going to use the example of concentric circles to talk about what the correct picture is of how to reign in life. Let this circle here represent you. It represents me. This is the individual. This is the individual who's born again, who has the deposit of Christ in his spirit. That's not his whole life affected. His whole life is intended to be affected. His whole life is intended to move from a place of not following the will of God to following the will of God and learning to reign in life as a king. But we don't start out that way as Christians. We're babes in Christ. We need to learn how to appropriate the things of God and to move in Him. So this area of deposit is when we're born again, His Spirit and our spirit are one. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is the next area of the greatest importance, the next area in our life. If this is us, and we'll talk about that in a minute, then this would be, if you're married, the husband and wife relationship. And I'm just going by my understanding of the Word of God and what importance He puts on things and the level of importance and what comes before something else. The next greatest importance is the marriage relationship. But everything that if we are going to, and we'll get to this in a minute, reigning in life over ourself. That's where it has to start. If we have any chance at all in doing well in our marriage and that working the way it ought to work, me as a husband, I have to come into it with the deposit of Christ that is working in my life to the degree that it spills out into my marriage. Now, concentric circle, the reason why we're using concentric circles are circles which have the same center point. Nothing is off-centered. It is all centered upon the same central point. So when you move from you as an individual being allowing the deposit of Christ to flow into all aspects of your life, and it spills over into your marriage, that Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him is the center of your marriage. That is the marriage that is going to do the best in being useful for the kingdom of God and pleasurable for you. Next slide. Okay, again, concentric circles, same center point. But you can see as it moves outward, this right here, if you're a husband and wife team that has children, I would say that everybody's situation is different. Some people aren't married. That wouldn't represent husband and wife relationship. It would represent the next greatest importance, area of importance. But if you are a Christian with the love of God and the life of God flowing through you and it's affecting your marriage, it's poured out into your marriage, then that should be pouring out into your children and how you raise your children and what activities you engage, what you allow, what you disallow. It all has to do with what is important from the very core of your being. And it pours out into your family. Next slide. And then from there, it just keeps going on and on and on. I would say the next one for a person who's born again, living with God, who is allowing the life of God to flow through him, and is married, and who has children, and the life of God and Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him is central to everything that you do, then the next area of importance beyond the family is your church family. We could go on from there. We get outwards and outwards and outwards to society, and the areas that we can touch the easiest are the closest in on our circle. I never travel to Alaska, so Alaska is not going to be anywhere close to the center of my life. It's the community that I live in. If we go from church family to then community, the community that I live in, the community that I touch, the community that I have a relationship with, that is the next greatest area of importance. But I can't be successful in any of those unless the life of God is flowing out from me to such a degree, not that I'm perfect and not that you are perfect and not that you do everything right all the time. But there's a significant amount of the life of Christ at work in you that you know what's happening, that others know what's happening, and that you're growing in Christ Jesus. You're not staying the same and you're not going backwards. Well, you don't have to be perfect before you can have a good marriage. If that was the case, I don't deserve to be married. I'm not perfect. My wife's close to it, but she's not perfect. Very close. Very, very, very close. but not perfect, especially in her timekeeping. Who said that? Don't laugh at my wife. Do not laugh at my wife. She doesn't deserve it. You don't have to be perfect. You can laugh. Susan, you can laugh. You don't have to be perfect, but you have to be trying. It has to be something that's important to you, that Jesus Christ truly is the center. And the same way, you don't have to have the perfect marriage in order to have children that can honor God. But you got to be working towards it. Does everybody see what we're talking about here? Okay, let's go to the next slide of eccentric circles. Okay, eccentric circles. And this is not electric circles like my son Michael said one time. This is eccentric circles. This is an incorrect one of the two that I'm going to show you, an incorrect picture of how to reign in life. The concentric circles is the correct picture. We are not going to be effective out here anywhere unless we're effective at the core. And we're going to have to affect other people's core in order for things to work in life. Why is this, I said at the beginning of this, why is this more important today than I believe ever before? These truths are eternal. This is something that's going to be right and righteous and the correct thing regardless of what's going on in the world. But what's going on in the world today is in circles where people consider themselves to be Christians, where they are thinking incorrectly that we can somehow have a form of government. This is a circle way, way out here, way beyond what we're even able to touch apart from a vote and any sort of activity we get into, but well beyond what we're able to really control. And we think that we're going to affect a change in the world without understanding that it all has to come from, first of all, me being right with God, me having my things, my family, my life under control, me reigning in those areas. I don't have a snowball's chance in hell of reigning over this United States of America if I got a messed up life. Can anybody say amen? And it has to come from a deposit which is Christ Jesus, not a love for America. If the deposit within us that's motivating us and making us want to do things cannot be, the love of America never saved anybody. And I'm not saying I don't love my country. Please don't read anything into what I'm saying that I'm not saying. But what I'm coming against is this idolatry where we think a man is going to fix something or a political party is going to fix something. Brothers and sisters, you and I, by the grace of God working in us and through us and us reigning in life in these realms, these concentric circles of realms and reigning effectively in those realms, then we have a chance of affecting change in our nation, in our communities, in our nation. But we've gotten so far off. This area of deposit cannot be anything other than Jesus Christ, His Spirit within us and at work in us. It cannot be anything else. Our hope cannot be in anything else. That's idolatry. That is complete idolatry. Whether we are lifting up a man above Jesus, whether we're lifting up an organization above Jesus and His church, that is idolatry, and that's going to send this country into a worse condition, not a better one. But eccentric circles, and I hear the amens just all over the Facebook sphere.
Yeah, they're echoing.
Eccentric circles is an incorrect picture of how to reign in life. Next. Okay, Eccentric circles do not share the same center, although the centers of each circle are located within at least one of the circles. So here is an eccentric circle. We have ourselves here, and let's just assume that we are a Christian. That is not a very effective one at this point, but we are truly born again. And how many of you know a person can be a Christian and yet not be mature and doing the right thing? I believe that. I believe the Word of God teaches that. But we need to teach people how to get to where they need to be. But this is a circle where the deposit of Christ is within us. But this next greatest importance, perhaps if this was our marriage, that Jesus is in our home, in our life, but He's not the center of our marriage. He's in there somewhere. We refer to Him every now and then. We both may go to church together, my wife and I, your husband and you. You may talk about the Lord on Christmas and Easter, but He's not the center of your life. Everything that is in your marriage is not flowing out of that. Next slide. Okay, if we go back to the example that from your marriage, this one is your children. Okay, we got the same thing going on. Jesus is a part of our family in this scenario. We're Christians here. We're just not living life the way we ought to. We're not reigning in life the way we ought to. And so he's on the periphery of some of these relationships. And so we wonder why our children have such a hard time. We wonder why they're not following in our footsteps and serving the Lord with gladness. And it's because Jesus wasn't the center of our home. He was there somewhere, but He wasn't in the center. Next circle. Okay, and the next greatest area of importance. Once again, we see that the problem with eccentric circles is that the life of Christ isn't totally missing. It's just not elevated. It's just not correct priority. And what God wants to happen and how He wants us to reign is not happening. So for the Lord Jesus Christ to make an effect in something in one of our kids' lives way out here, He's got a lot longer way to go. We got a lot more work to try to get Jesus over into an area where He hasn't normally been. This is what happens when we live our lives this way. And our last example, this is the second example of an incorrect model. We had concentric circles, which showed the correct way. We had eccentric circles, which is incorrect. And now we have random circles, another incorrect picture of how to reign in life. But this guy, he hasn't got a clue. And I'm not even sure if this red thing, the area of deposit, really is the Lord Jesus Christ. This may be his love for America. This may be his love for hunting. This may be his love for his car. This may be his love for pornography. I don't know what's in there, but he's got something in there motivating him. Next slide. And the next area of focus, let's say this was a Christian, but just a very, very, very weak Christian. The next area, Jesus isn't even in that area. He's doing things that the Lord's not even a part of. He's allowed himself to get involved in things that the Lord wouldn't touch. The Lord's not a part of that. He just up and did it. He just saw something he wanted to do and he went after it. Next. Another area of focus. See, the deposit can't even make it to there. It's an area of personal focus, but it's not an area of deposit. The deposit of Christ, if it was there in the beginning, it's not in these other areas. The man or the woman is doing things that do not honor the Lord and is not doing it in order to honor the Lord. And next slide. This just shows, it just keeps repeating. It's all over the place. Everything that that person does ends up being another area outside of the will and the life of Christ. Thank you, Jason. Put that on. Are you still with me? The area of deposit in each believer is the Spirit of Christ joined with our spirit. And in our spirit, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are victorious in Him. Now we must exercise His victory and our authority in Him and grow in victory in all areas of our life. We must enforce our reign, keeping Jesus as the center of our lives. Now let's go back. This is part one. I'm only going to be talking about self today to show the importance of self being right. We don't have a chance of being effective in making the world a better place, making our society a better place, making your marriage a better thing if I'm not right. If you're not right. So the first and most important place to reign is over self. Proverbs chapter 25 and verses 28 says, "He that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Did you hear that? He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls, defenseless, run over, overtaken easily. So if we're reigning over self, what are some areas that we need to reign? Where do we need to see the life of Christ at work? Well, we need to reign over anger. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." If you look at this and spend time, which I'm not going to today, and you look at the importance that the Lord Himself puts on us being right with Him, He even says here, it's more important for a man to be right and rule over his anger and control himself than being someone who can conquer a city. What good is it if you can somehow, some way, take charge of a nation and be in charge, your particular political party, with your particular candidate, which all is, as I said, idolatry? What happens if that which undergirds it is not there? It's just going to crumble anyway. You can't make somebody do what they don't want to do. All change comes from within. We'll get to this more next week. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger." Anger isn't something you have to give place to. You can use discretion. Should I be angry right now? Should I let myself go ballistic right now? Or should I not? "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger." You can take charge over that by the power of Almighty God if you're reigning in life by Jesus Christ. I don't know if perhaps you have been perfect in this area. I have not. I have let my anger get the best of me at times. I don't want to do that. And when I do, I realize that is not under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do? I go and repent. I don't stop being married. I just go and repent and get it right and do better at being married because I'm doing better at reigning over what is going on in my life. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go." Someone who's known for being angry. I have known, be so easy to get off base here, and I'm not going to, but I have known people who are even in the ministry who have severe anger issues. And the Word of God says that's not even a person to have fellowship with. If somebody has that and they're known for that, not just every now and then, like perhaps I do, or perhaps somebody else in this room might. But I'm talking about known for being an angry person who just lets things out of their mouth and says things and does things. He says, don't go with them. Don't be with them. Don't partner up with them. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Instead of calming things down and ruling and reigning, you're stirring things up and making things worse. Next, reigning over appetites. We all have God-given appetites, desires for things that keep us alive or bring us pleasure. These appetites for approval, food, sex, feeling good, and power, they're all good, but only if they are exercised correctly and we are in control of them. These same appetites can be terribly destructive if we allow them to control us. The bondage that can come from being controlled by our flesh is the opposite of reigning. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 2, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. That's not just eating appetite, that's drinking appetite, that's the wrong relationship appetite. That is any appetite, that is any cry of the flesh that wants to be fulfilled in an ungodly manner. He said, put a knife to your throat. Do not let that appetite reign over you. You reign over it. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, but I keep my body under, Paul says, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye shall through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Once again, if we are a person that is not reigning over our appetites, then whatever aspirations we have to reign as mayor of the city, governor of the state, president of the United States, emperor of the world, whatever you want to label yourself, whatever your aspirations are, if you're not a man that can control your appetites, you are going to fall and fail. It's all going to crumble in around you. Next, reigning over thoughts and fears. We're getting close to wrapping this up. Reigning over thoughts and fears. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When do you have the authority? When do you have the power to revenge disobedience, to have any kind of control over disobedience? When your obedience is fulfilled. You can't be out there. That's why some people are not effective in child rearing, because they haven't been properly reared themselves. They haven't properly been trained themselves. We can't affect change that's going to be lasting on our community, on our nation, or on the world, unless we're people that are people of integrity, people of character, people whose life can stand up and support the flow of Christ out from us to where it needs to go. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. First John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So fear is another area, our thought life and our fears, how we what we concentrate on, what we allow to. God can't get a hold of us if fear has got a hold of us. We have to let loose of one to hold on to the other. Fear is gripping. You cannot reign and be in bondage to fear at the same time. Very quickly, I'll tell you a story about when in the business that I was running several years ago, I don't know what happened. I don't even know how I got this way, but something happened. There was so much going on, so much pressure to please customers and have customers and succeed in business, that it got to be where every time the phone would ring, I would have this anxiety come upon me. Oh dear, what is it now? What's gone wrong now? Every time an email, bing, I could hear it. What is it now? I lived for a few weeks. It didn't last for a long time, but when it was there, it was intense. I lived in almost constant fear of bad news. And I'm not that kind of person. I usually let things come in. I deal with them. I think there's got to be a way to deal with this. God, please help me. We pray. Susan and I pray together. We deal with it. We go on. But something bad had taken place. I can guarantee you I was not reigning as a head of a business while I was in fear. I wasn't reigning. I was merely surviving, if that. The next area is reigning over our tongue. James chapter 3 and verse 2, for in many things we offend all, but if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we may turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships which though they are so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. How are we going to be a blessing? How do we think we're going to be a blessing to our family, to our wife, our husband, our family, our church body, our community, our nation, the world, and on in the concentric circles? How do we think we're going to be a blessing if the Word of God tells us that if our tongue is loose and it's saying ungodly things and hurtful things, all we're doing, instead of being a blessing, we're destroying? Brothers and sisters, we can't try to live out there somewhere if we don't have it right in here. It doesn't work. The Word of God is over and over and over again full of examples how we need to live, flowing outward, life of Christ flowing outward, reigning over these things. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days. How many of you want good days? How many want our country to have good days? If you love life and you want to see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. How foolish it is to think that you're going to do anything positive for this world if all that pours out of you is guile. It will not happen. Okay, we're going to end part one with these three scriptures, which are going to confirm God's order. This is God's order of first here, then there. First here, and then there. These are just some. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. First here, then there. I can't be a help to you if I'm all kinds of messed up. Anybody say amen to that? I didn't say I couldn't be a help to you until I'm perfect, did I? I'm not saying you can't be a help to anybody else unless you're perfect. But you can't be a help to somebody else if you've just given up trying. And you're not wanting the life of Christ to change you at all, but you're wanting to do everything you can to change everybody around you. It doesn't work that way. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. He that is faithful in that which is the least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. How do you get to an area of much? Be faithful in the little. It comes from the smallest area, the area of deposits, the area that you can be faithful over. How do I get to a bigger place? Do my job right here. Be faithful right there. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And last one, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. A bishop or an elder, an overseer, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, listen to this, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Do you see it? If you can't take care of it here, how are you going to be successful here? This is just plain God sense. It's not common sense. It's God sense. If it was common sense, more people would have it. But this is God sense. This is truth. We need to understand that this is how things work. It is sheer folly for anyone to think that we can leapfrog over some of the areas that are closer to home and reign in those that are farther away. Just completely leapfrog, forget the things that we should be having control over, yet we don't, and try to leapfrog over those into areas that tickle our fancy more. We feel more drawn to, we feel more attracted to, we feel like are more important. You can leapfrog over there, but it is not going to work. You know, I remember the first time I heard this phrase, I was in England, and I thought this guy made it up. Maybe he did. I don't think so. I think he just knew it long before I knew it. But we were in London, and we stopped to ask a guide directions for somewhere, and I was lost with Susan's father and some other men. We were trying to find our way through London to the Royal Albert Hall. And we were in a neighborhood, and we asked the guy, how do you get to such and such a place? He looked around for a minute. He thought, he said, you can't get there from here. I thought that was the funniest thing I ever heard. You can't get there from here. And a lot of people say that. But actually, the only way to get there is from here. That's the only option we have to get there is from here. Start where you are. Work on the things that God has given you authority in, that you know that you can touch, that you have control over. Your attitudes, your feelings, your thoughts, your anger, your relationships, yourself. We can get there from here, but we can't leapfrog over here to get there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, I don't know what we're able to accomplish tonight with all of the difficulties we've had, but Lord, you know our hearts are to serve you. Our hearts are to get this message out. Our hearts are to see that people not spending their wheels and their time endlessly pursuing things that are well beyond where they ought to be working. Lord, help each and every one of us to get to there by being faithful here. Lord, help our hearers to increase. Help our hearers to grow. Help our hearers to become an ever-increasing circle of influence. But Lord, help us to go there with a deposit of Christ and taking that everywhere we go. Help us to be faithful, Lord God. I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl to not only be challenged by this Word of God, but to be changed in Jesus' precious name. Amen.